Does everybody have expectation this morning? Yeah, I come here with expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Oh, amen. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. Let me repeat that. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Amen. Aren't we glad they're temporary? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Father, this morning we have joy, and we come with expectation that you will be here with us, Lord God, as we worship you, as we declare your word, as we break bread one to another. Father, we thank you for your holy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Wow, presence of God has been so powerful the last couple days. You men should be jealous that you didn't get to come yesterday to that woman's retreat, because it was powerful. It was powerful. God broke some stuff. God's continuing to break some stuff. And this is just a hard act to follow. After yesterday and worship and that word, wow, Lord, just keep it up. Amen. Just keep it up, God. I'm basically just going to tell a little story today. But I want to read a couple verses out of Psalm 32. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the one whom the Lord does not accuse of doing wrong and who is free of all deceit. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a story. I had something actually to share, and I was studying for it, and the Lord, it just wasn't it. And I'm like, all right, Lord. And I just put the books down, and I'm like, all right, Lord, you just got to tell me what you want me to say. And I walk away and forget about it, basically. So later on that day, I was looking through my calendar to see if I had anything going on that I should be at, because, you know, if you don't look at the calendar, you don't know, right? And I realized that today was the day that my dad went to his reward. And I was like, oh, that's right. But what a beautiful thing. I mean, really, I mean, I miss him every day. You guys know if you've ever lost. But man, when I think about him looking at Jesus' face for 6 years, worshiping in his presence, no pain, no sorrow, man, it just like, really, it makes my heart flutter just to think of it. It's a good thing. But I'm going to tell you a story about him. Now, he wasn't always a good dad. And I could tell you some really bad things about him, but I'm not going to do that today. But I'm going to tell you a story where he got it right. And let me just give you a little background, those of you guys don't know me. Vito Kanjimi was a hard man. He was a little guy, like 5'10". But I'm telling you, he would have taken anybody on. He was fearless. And he was strict. If he told you something, okay, go trim around the garage. You know, we had those hand trimmers. I hated doing it because there were spiders. I knew there were spiders. And you better doggone well do it. You don't get around to it at the end of the day. You stop what you're doing, and you go trim around the garage. That was my dad. Now, we ate our dinner every night, 5 o'clock, maybe 5:10. You're a little rare, better be in that house about 5 to 5, or you were going to get upside the head. He never spanked us, and I don't remember him spanking us, but we'd get a whack upside the head sometimes. And my brother always pushed it, and I don't know why he cared. What's the difference if we eat at 5 or 6? Why do you care? Just be home when you're supposed to be home. It's a big deal. And I was always a rule follower, always. So now it's summer, beginning of summer. School just got out. And back then, you didn't call your friends to see what they were doing. You just went there. Drove around the neighborhood on your bike, walked. You just looked for your friends, and you found them. Came back at dinner time. You left again when the streetlights came on. I mean, literally, that was what you did. My parents never knew where I was. They didn't know what I was doing. I was just gone all day. So I head out, you know, late morning probably, I'm guessing it was, on my 10-speed bike. Now, I hadn't rode a bike all winter. You know what it's like when you first get on a bike, right? They're a little wobbly. So I'm heading down the street. We lived on a long street. And there was a group of my friends around a car. Now, it wasn't anybody's house. I don't know why they were there. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to stop and see what's going on and see if I want to hang out for the day or move on to a different friend, you know? So I'm going to stop the bike. And whatever happened, I don't know what happened, but I ended up like scraping the car. Well, the guy must have been watching these kids. And I'm probably like 12. I'm thinking I'm 12. And the guy must have been watching the kids from home. He comes hauling out, yelling and screaming. He was an old guy, probably one of those guys that yells at you if the ball goes on his grass, you know? I didn't know who he was. It was far enough away from my house, we didn't know that neighbor. And he's yelling and screaming, and he grabs me by the arm, and he forces me off the bike. And I mean, if it would have been today, he would have been in big trouble. But back then, I was just like, what the heck? I didn't even have a chance to look at the car to see if I did anything to it. So he must have been watching the kids. Oh, I called the police. The police are going to be here any minute. You're not going nowhere. And I'm like, the police? Now, mind you, at that point, I wasn't rebellious. I was still a good kid, but the guy called the cops on me. And all I could think about was my dad's going to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
I was not worried about those cops. Wasn't worried about what the neighbors thought, looking at me, sitting in the back of that police car. All I thought was my dad's going to kill me and I'm going to be grounded the whole summer. That's it. My summer's over. It just started. That day, I don't even remember what I did the rest of the day. But all I know is 5 o'clock took forever. So my dad comes in, grabs me by the hand. He says, come on, we're going down the street. We didn't eat dinner that day. We left. So he and I are walking down the street. Now, he had a bad leg. He was born without enough lymph nodes in one leg. So he had chronic lymphedema his whole life. Always limped. He was on the job, on his feet all day. He worked in a factory. And I was like, why is he walking? Why aren't we just driving down? But you know, he wanted to talk. And we talked. It was probably about a 10-minute walk. And he said, all he said to me is, what happened? I told him what happened. And I was honest. You know, when you're walking with the Father, and I love that Allison used the word Abba when she sang that song, because we typically don't. But, you know, Abba is a term, I looked it up real quick, it implies that you're his child. It's a very intimate name to call God Abba. And see, when you walk on the road with your Abba to meet your accuser, you're gonna be talking, and you're gonna tell him what happened, and you're gonna admit you're wrong, right? Didn't say a word to me. I still had no idea what was going to happen. No idea. But we got there, and my dad looks at the car. He goes, I can bust this out in a minute. And the guy starts going off. My dad started laying it. We walked back to the house. He got his buffer. He said, you stay here. And you know, I never got in any trouble for that. But you know, I confessed, and granted, it was an accident. But I owned up to it. You know, but what a beautiful picture when I remember that of how our Father is with us. You do realize that the accuser, day and night, says in Revelation, day and night, he's accusing each one of us before the Father, day and night. And you know, sometimes in our head, all day long, we're waiting for that 5 o'clock thinking our Father's going to nail us. We're going to get it. Abba is going to bring down the hatchet. And you know what? Sometimes we need the hatchet, but that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. We are his children. And he will defend us to the accuser. He will. day and night. Day and night, he'll defend us. Day and night. All right, if you don't have your cup, go get it. Lord, I thank you so much for reminding me of that story, Lord. Lord, you're so good to your children, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, and like that song says, Lord, we haven't earned it. We've done nothing to earn it, Lord. But Lord, when I think of the accuser accusing us day and night, I think of you defending us, Lord. Lord, sometimes we need a cup of your blood to cover our sins, Lord. Sometimes we just need a drop. But Lord, I thank you that you have finished it, Lord God, on our behalf, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to be pleasing to you in all things, Lord God. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your body, Lord, to strengthen us. We thank you for your blood to cleanse us. Lord, continue to pour out your anointing and to free your people, Lord God, from the lies of the enemy, Lord. That recording in our head, Lord, help us to change the channel when we think of you as a good father, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity today for you to use me as a vessel of honor, Lord God, to share your word, your thoughts, some of your ideals with your people. Father God, let it touch hearts and let it touch strongholds and let it touch areas, Lord God, in our closets that we have where we need a breakthrough at, Father. Do it, Lord God. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, and let's go to verse 41. Powerful, man. Powerful. Just powerful. Just powerful to see God moving in the way that he's moving. It's always a pleasure to see Shiloh, Rachel, and definitely Sue. I can just see God expanding you. Expansion. I just see it because since I've known you, I already see an expansion. What is there, 10 of them up here now? And so what's going to come from them is going to be another 10 or another 20. God always multiplies. Amen. So it's just good to see you all here. Now, today, I'm going to try to get through this very quickly. Because I just pray for me, man. Just pray for me. I really need you know, I'm gonna have to go home and fast because it breaks me up to see your grandkids, man. Oh, Jesus. People that are in wheelchairs are my ministry, but God told me it's going to take fasting and prayer. I wanted to lay hands on them, he said. Fasting and prayer. And Pastor, it was right on time when you prayed for them. Because I was back there just breaking up. Because I know Jesus can heal them. I know it. I know it in my spirit. And it just And we broke up, so I'm not going to be up here long, but I am going to deliver the word that God gave me. And Teresa, you just really showed that we were one in the spirit, because it's about the accuser. You see, he wants to be your leader. He know Jesus is, but you have to learn the voice of Christ and the Holy Spirit and God in your life. You have to learn the difference, because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to deceive, and he wants to be your leader. So let's start. Luke 2, verse 41. Now the parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, and I was pondering this for a while. I was like, man, Jesus, he was 12, learning and absorbing what God had for him. I wasn't that fortunate. I was in my late 20s when I really got the revelation that it was something different that had to happen in my life. And I said, he was 12. And let me finish reading. And he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So he just stayed back there on his own at 12. This is how powerful our Lord is. He started his ministry, his learning, his growing, his expanding process when he was 12. He wasn't even a teen yet. He was still an adolescent. Let me keep reading. But they, supposing him to have been in their company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Now, I put myself in Joseph and Mary's shoes. I don't think I would have been amazed. I would have been ready to whoop somebody. I had to go back 3 days. It took me 3 days to find you. Somebody getting a whooping. But this is powerful, because it shows the mindset of Jesus as a child. See, the anointing is so prevalent and powerful in our lives. You have to have the anointing. And he was anointed. It's nowhere in the world he would have stayed in there kicking it back and forth, you know, with the doctors and the priests, just learning everything and asking questions, why this, why that. The anointing was on him to do that. Because as a child, you don't think to disobey your parents and just stay behind. And you know they going back home. Come on, y'all. He had a purpose. Let me finish. And then they said, I'm in verse 48. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us like this. Hey, boy, what are you doing? What are you doing back here? We got to go home. Why you deal with us like this? Behold, the Father and I have sought the sorrowing. They were crying. They didn't know where he was. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? And I'm going to paraphrase this. Don't you know I had business to take care of? What kind of answer is that to say to your mother? It shows, let me share this. It shows Jesus was struggling with his responsibility at 12 to be in concordance with his mother and father, or to be concordance with his Father God. Let me tell you something. We struggle with that as adults. We gotta get out of that struggle. Because everybody in here, how many people are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know what their mission is, know what their mandate is from the Lord? How many? Okay, good. See, but you others that don't know your mandate yet, you got to learn how to lean towards the Holy Spirit. You got to learn how to start to hear his voice. You got to learn how to start to be in his presence. You got to desire to cut some of these things out of the world. It's hard. It's hard. But man, I'm going to tell you something. When you start doing it, doors are going to start opening up and you're going to start understanding who you are in God. Jesus understood already that the Word, anything pertaining to the Word of God, was a responsibility of his. That's why he couldn't tell his mom and dad, I don't want to go, before he stayed. He couldn't tell them beforehand because they would have said, boy, come on here and get on over here with us. He had to just stay. It was some questions that he needed answered, and he got them. You all got questions. It's greatness in here. It's greatness. Because imagine if you caught fire like he did, what God could do with you. It's my job. I'm an encourager. I'm going to always get up in here and encourage you to go further. I can't help it. That's all that comes out. See what I'm saying? So don't. I'm not saying you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But I'm saying it's another level. You can do better. You can do it stronger. You can do it harder. Because it's God in you that's doing the work. It's not you. It's the Spirit. It's his job to keep you motivated, to keep you on track. But you got to learn to cut the world out. I got to tell you this. Man, I had so many friends. I had a lot of friends. And I used to pride myself on that. But as soon as I answered this call for God, God just started cutting them off. Cutting them off. It wasn't even me. It was him. And then he said, I'm your friend. You got three of the most powerful friends you would have. Me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You don't even need them now. He said, all you need to do is my will. And I just got used to being alone. And then I was struggling a little bit. I got a divorce, you know, and I had all these visions of me and my wife doing powerful things with God because she was a prophetess. You know what I'm saying? I kind of see God kind of shuffling me towards, you know, the apostleship maybe, you know. But the point of it is, it didn't work. I had a choice to make. And I said, Lord, I'm for you. I don't care what she want to go do. And he said, that's what I wanted to hear from you. Let's go. And I had to separate. I had to come forth. And now I'm at the point where that doesn't even faze me being with somebody anymore because I'm with the three entities that could change my life and people's lives around me, not hold me back, not keep me stuck, not keep me wondering about them. We have to make conscious decisions, y'all, because God is our everything. He wants to see you deny yourself sometime of things and then watch what he increases you with. Let me keep going. Because Jesus was 12. So he didn't really come out and start his ministry. He didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't get the dove didn't let him. He was 33. The anointing really came on him when he was 33. So he had from 12 to 33 to learn what to do. God don't want to change what you've been through. What you've been through, he's going to use that to help other people because he's going to send people that was going through what you're going through for you to minister to them. He don't want to change that. He going to take that and show you how great he is by changing your life. That's why I say you're powerful. Shiloh, man, powerful. Powerful. To get on a plane and go all the way to another country to do what God said, that's powerful. That's courage. That's great, great courage. And there's rewards that come with that. But you gotta understand, Jesus was just a kid trying to do it. And God looking at us like we're children. We're his children. We're his babies. And we're trying to do his will. But you got to understand, your past is your past. But God will use that to help you to your future. He don't want to use anybody that ain't got nothing to tell nobody. I've been in jail. I've been homeless. I was on drugs. You got to have something. You got to have something. Because if you don't have anything to share with somebody, how are they going to believe that it's really a God? Okay. Let me see. When you first realize that God got a call on your life, it's got to be some distinctions made in your life. You can't hang out with Billy Bob and Sally Sue. You got to cut them off. It's got to be some distinction. It's got to be. Now, today, let's break it down to today's time. We're in a place where we got 85-inch TVs. We got car stereos that you can hear half a mile away. We got all kinds of other activities that can pull us away from the Word of God. We got the internet. You don't even got to leave. It's the whole wide world of spectrum in that thing, man. but it's got to be a distinction in you. If you know God is calling you, if you know you desire to do something for him, you got to get alone. He's not going to be trying to out-talk your friends. He's not going to try to out-talk them. He'll let you crash and burn. He don't want you to, but he will. And guess what? Crash and burn again and crash and burn again until you get it. Why? I did it. Until I got tired of crashing and burning. And I was like, man, this got to stop. But see, it was a distinction made. It was a distinction. Sometimes we don't even really know what God want to do with us. But sometimes before he lets us know, you got to bow down. You got to bow down. Now listen, let me tell you something. He was telling me, again, get that TV out of your room. I'm like, yeah, I'll get it out of there. A couple months later, get that TV out of your room. Like, man, okay, I'm getting out, God. He's like, no, man, get the TV out of your room. And when I took it out, it's amazing what happened. He increased my prayer. He increased my insight. And he started to readjust me. I didn't know. I was like, man, God, I should have been got that TV out of here when you first said it. Because I didn't know that he was going to readjust. I had it in there because in the morning before I go, I leave out early in the morning to go to work. Always watch the weather to make sure to see what freeways are closed. And then I check that out so I can know which way to go. But it was always there. And then it'll be a movie here, a movie there, something stupid be on TV. You know what I'm saying? And I end up watching that. God said, no. So see. Once I did that, then he started to say, now I'm going to take you to a new level. I'm like, another level? And then the enemy got busy in my life. Attacking me at work, attacking my finances, attacking all around me. And then he said, yeah, you already at that new level. That's how you know. But watch what I'm going to do with you in the new level to where that's not even going to be a big deal. And I went through for about 4 or 5 months. And maybe last week I came out. Last week I came out. But the point of the matter is, what he did with me, he reassured me that I'm taking you forward. I got work for you to do. I need you to understand it's going to take trials and tribulations to get you to the next level. That's what's going to push you there. See, now I'm understanding. I learned this from you got to press in to God for what you know he going to do or he told you he going to do. You got to press in on your face and on your knees. Press. You got to tell, you got to feed that word back to him. You said, Lord, you said, Jesus, you said. See, that makes the difference between somebody that's 12 and somebody that's 33. That's why Jesus, once he got anointed, he went on doing what the Lord was showing him to do. See, you got to understand, God got a plan for your life. Get in that vein and find out what it is. Okay. God is always going to make provision for those that follow his will. Okay, Jesus went through a lot of stuff, but I'm going to show you with Peter. Let's go over to Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. I'm going to cut it. I'm going to try to cut this one down a little bit. But I had to lay that foundation to so that you could see and understand that if you are saved and sanctified, you feel with the Holy Spirit, talking in tongues, it's a purpose for you. It's a purpose. Okay. Now, this is when Peter and them had walked with Jesus for a while. And now it was getting down to the time that he was going to be taken away from them. And he just said, well, it's time to let some of these knuckleheads, because that's what they were in. They were knuckleheads, just like we act sometimes. And the Lord said, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Man, I've been going through a sifting. Who else? He told me the whole church been going through a sifting. I'm like, man, God, what's up with the sifting? I said, this don't feel like no sifting to me. This feel like somebody trying to take me out of here, man. Let me read verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now listen. Jesus said, I already prayed for you that when you're converted, he wasn't done working on Peter yet. Peter wasn't at the place where he could execute what Jesus had put in motion for him to. See, all of us have different missions, different desires, different anointings. But Peter was a special kind of guy to Jesus. He wasn't more important than any of the others, but he played an important part after he was converted. 33, and he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Now this is flesh talking. This is flesh. This ain't the spirit. This is flesh. And then Jesus had to take the needle out and pop the bubble. Poop. He had to do it. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny and thou that thou knowest me not. Pop. Peter, remember what we started out with? Peter had baggage. He had baggage. I got baggage. You got baggage. We got stuff that happened in our past. Peter got stuff that happened in his past too. But God said, you're going to deny me three times before this day is out. But what happened when Peter denied him? When Peter denied him, he realized that word he got from Jesus about being sifted was actually happening. See, watch this. Let me break shift down. To sift down. To shake someone apart. He was trying to break up Peter's faith in Christ. He was trying to destroy it, just like he destroyed Eve and Adam in the garden with a suggestion. Or to break a person down. He was trying to break Peter down. How many of us feel like that sometimes? The last couple weeks, I've been like, Lord, what in the world? What is going on? Then I'm laying up in the middle of the night, praying, trying to get to sleep. I normally go in there and get in the bed, and I'm out. I'm like, God, what's happening? What's going on? He ain't saying nothing. But then he wanted to tell me today, when I started getting into this message to deliver for him, he said, you being sifted. He says, the enemy wants to get your faith off of where you are, because you got an apostle's kind of faith. You got somebody that want to go forth and get something done in the name of Jesus, so that when I get to heaven, he say, oh, yeah, good. You a good and faithful son. Come on over here. Don't even look over there. Over here is heaven. Over there is hell. See, the point of it is God has a plan and purpose for our lives. Satan not only wanted to wreck Job's life, but he also desired to destroy Peter's too. He wanted to destroy Job. But God said, Jesus said, no, you can't take his life. God said, you can't take his life. But he did. He did destroy his life. But God said, I got a better plan. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I think that would make me happy. I think that would make me real happy. Peter's denial three times was a breakdown point for him. When Peter went back and said, man, Jesus, he gave me a word of knowledge, and I turned right around and did it. What am I going to do? I bet you when he went back and he prayed, he said, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Give me another chance. I'm going to do it right. Because it's so funny how soon as Jesus died, they split up. And then the next thing you know, it's the day of Pentecost. He preaching for 4 or 5 hours. He preaching where people falling asleep and falling down. And then when the dude fell down dead, he laid hands on him and raised him up. But it was an exchange. It was an exchange. God ain't mad at you about your past. See, it's going to be an exchange. Your past for his future. Your past for his future. I remember I was struggling, man, with that gun thing, man, I had, because I was so used to carrying guns, living in the city. And I was struggling big time, man. Even after I was licensed and ordained pastor, man, I would be, man, just crazy thoughts would come out of nowhere. Man, I'd be on the TV program. Man, if that was you, I'd shoot him first, and then I'd shoot him. And I'm like, man, what is this? I can't be watching this stuff. Let me turn this stuff off. Don't go in there, man. Don't go in there. You ain't even got no gun. Hey, man, you getting ready to get killed. Stop, dude. You talking too much. And then I was like, that's it. I had to get on my face. Lord, please deliver me from this, man. I can't even go to the movies. Y'all laughing, but it wasn't funny when I was going through it. I was crying big crocodile tears. Lord, please, please, please. And then one day, I just woke up, boom, it was gone. I desired for it to be gone. I desired to do the will of God more than I desired to follow that fleshly stuff. That's what happened with Peter. Peter said, I ain't denying him no more. I ain't denying him. Once you make up in your mind, in your spirit, I'm doing the Lord's will. Oh, it's a whole bunch of things going to come at you to stop you from accomplishing his will. But guess what? The more you incline to God, the more he incline to you. You got angels. Listen, you got angels that'll come help you get it done. Oh, I wish I could go into that. Let me stop. Now I'm going to show you Paul and we're going to wrap this up. Now listen. Listen. Y'all are powerful, powerful beings. You got to know how powerful you are just by yourself. But when you get with somebody else, it said one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. You gotta look at that. That's power. But you gotta desire to flow in it. But you gotta eat the scroll. You ain't gonna flow in it if it ain't in you. Now watch this. Let's go to Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. Watch this. Now this is about my buddy Paul. It's my buddy Paul. I'm going to start in 3. I'm not going to read 1 and 2. I'm going to start in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Paul, like, what in the world going on? But he'd been out killing Christians, killing them, throwing them in jail, beating them up, all that old crazy stuff. And Jesus said, that's enough. Now it's time for you to feel how it feel to get that done to you. Because I got need of you. Because just as easy as it was for you to bring this on them, it's a desire in you that I'm going to plant. It's a desire in you to do my will. And you're going to do my will because of that. You ain't going to even care. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And listen to what happened to Paul. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told unto you what you must do. Watch this. He get the word from Ananias. Now watch this. Let's just read about Ananias right quick. He said, watch what Ananias said. Okay, let's start in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, rise and go into the street, call straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he, behold, he prayeth. That was a word. And watch this. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might recover his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many this man how much evil he have done on the saints of Jerusalem. And here he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Watch this. Go to chapter 20, verse 23. I'm just going to run down some real quick. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses. Let me make sure. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, the bonds that binds of the afflictions abide in me. Let's go to 21:27. See, this is Paul talking. This is Paul saying, these are the things that I'm going through. Watch this. 21:27, chapter 21:27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people, and they laid hands on him. He was beaten. They beat him up. Let's go to 21:33. Then he was, watch this. And the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Let's go to 27:11. Chapter 27:11. And it's a whole list of stuff. I just cut this off, but I just picked out some of them. Chapter 27, verse 11, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship, and more than these things which were spoken by Paul. And, I'll just stop there. He was shipwrecked twice. But Paul had to go through many things because Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, where there's great things God desires of you, it's going to be great things that you have to go through. Don't be scared. Because, see, you got to understand, we ain't supposed to be living to ourselves anyway. Man, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. We're supposed to be living to Christ. We're supposed to be doing his will. Why? Because he died for us. It's a lot of us would be dead. There's no way I could not follow Christ. I've been shot at, almost stabbed, car accidents. And it's about 6 or 7 other times he said he delivered me through people trying to set me up to kill me. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just saying. It's some of you at home that can contest to what I'm saying. You've been through it. You've done some things that wasn't right. See, so listen to me. To whom much is given, and life is a, I don't think you can give anything greater than somebody giving them life. Much is required. And Peter and Jesus and Paul, and then it's a couple other that I want to hit on real quick. What about Stephen? What about Philip? What about Barnabas when Paul didn't become an apostle? It probably was 10 years later. He didn't even become an apostle. It might have been more than that. But the thing about it is that he didn't become an apostle, him and Barnabas, until they went. Barnabas was a teacher. Paul was a prophet. And the Holy Spirit sent word and said, separate Paul and Barnabas, for I have need of them. And when they got over to the other land, the scripture said they were Apostle Barnabas and Apostle Paul. See, God can do what he want to do with you, but you have to submit and let him and allow him. It's not about your background. It's about your future. That's what it's about, because all of you are great. Every last one of you, when you're under the anointing and you are under the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do astronomical things. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for giving me this word, because going through these seasons, Lord God, of trial and test and temptation, Lord God, it can be hard sometimes. Sometimes it can really, really weigh on you, Lord. But I just thank you so much for everything that you've done for me, as well as my brothers and sisters that are under the sound of my voice. God, move on them in a mighty way. Supernatural power, supernatural giftings. Let them do supernatural things, Lord God, so that your name can be published and your name can be glorified, God. God, we thank you and we praise you for today. And we ask in Jesus' name these things. Amen.